Our loving Heavenly Father, you have won the victory over sin and death and have established your Son as King over all. So now, Lord, as we come to read your word together and think about it, your Spirit would not just... your Spirit would speak to our hearts, not only so that we know new things, but so that our hearts would be changed and so that our lives would be changed to serve you and to serve those around us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A missionary is a funny thing in some ways. I come here to a church, speak, and then I disappear for, you know, 2 or 3 years. And then for some reason, get to come back again. And this kind of gets repeated over however many times. It begs the question, what is it that holds this relationship together? What is it that allows us to come here? And you could go further. What is it that allows us as missionaries to go to a country like Japan that we weren't living in before and join a church there? That's why I wanted to look at Ephesians 4 together, to hopefully confirm with you what or who it is that holds us together. What we find here is that we can be partners over long distances and long absences because we are united by Christ Jesus to do his work. We are united by Christ Jesus to do his work. As Craig said, it's a one-off. We're kind of jumping in right into the middle of a book. So it's good to get some context. Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul, and he'd visited and helped start the Ephesian church as a missionary. He'd then been imprisoned as a follower of Jesus. In the first half of the letter, up into the point we read, Paul has laid out this amazing plan that God has for the world. How God is seeking to re-establish his authority over all the world by setting up his Son, Jesus, as King. And as part of that plan, Jesus is bringing together a new family of people from all different ethnic and cultural backgrounds. And it's a wonderful thing in Australia that we get to see a bit of that, probably more so than in many other countries. So in chapter 4, Paul starts to set out how this new united people should live under the Lord Jesus, to live a life worthy of our calling as his people, as Paul says in verse 1. What was this calling? Paul describes in wonderful detail in the first 2 chapters of how we were made God's people. How once we were good as dead before God, but God saved us through his Son Jesus. Jesus took the punishment we should have received by dying on the cross for us. In this way, God bought us with Jesus' blood. But Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead as God's King over all things. And God has given us new and eternal life with Jesus. And God's also marked each of us with his Holy Spirit, whom he's sent to live in us. And Paul describes how all this happened when we heard the message of truth about the Lord Jesus and believed it. And so this is the one hope that Paul mentions in verse 4. It's really important to confirm this as our shared belief. And if it's not yet your belief, we really pray that it will be. This is the message we take as missionaries to Japan. It's on the basis of this shared belief that we've become God's people and that new people are added to become God's people. And Paul reminds us in verse 4 that we're also united to one another in the Spirit. We've been made God's family. And so, Beck and I, we can come to you, our partner church, because we're united as family who share the same truth in the Lord Jesus. We're united under one God, following the one Lord, believing the one Spirit. All of this uniting and binding together, done by God, a wonderful spiritual reality. And on that basis, we're able to stand here. Not because we happen to be called missionaries, but as those united with you in God's family. And to you and to us, Paul says, act in a way that's worthy of that. Now, the reality of this is that it can be really hard to love family. And maybe some of you find it really easy to love your family. But I suspect that you've probably experienced times at church when it was hard to love the people around you. And I can think of times when it was hard to love the people around me. Maybe more importantly, I can think of the times when I was a bit hard to love. And that's why I think Paul states right at the start what sort of an attitude is worthy of those united in the Spirit. What kind of attitude we should have towards our family members. Verse 2, please read it with me. Be completely humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. And you've actually demonstrated that to us over 6 years now, 7 actually, as you've welcomed us each time we're in Australia and through your encouragement and support while we've been in Japan. And we also want to act with humility and gentleness. So, I want to commend the work God has set for us in Japan. Not because I or Beck are doing an amazing job, but because God is doing an amazing work in Japan. And we all get to be a part of that amazing work as those who share the goal of seeing Jesus proclaimed as Lord around the world, of seeing a world that knows Jesus. This unity Christians have in Jesus also means that we were welcomed by our previous church at Mondo Bible Church, and we've been welcomed by our new church, Crossroad Nishinomiya. And amazingly, the people you see on the screen at the moment, they're your family as well. You and they are united by what God has done through Jesus. So you can pray for these people not only as kind of people who trust the Lord, but as your brothers and sisters. People you'll spend eternity with. So one of the things you can pray for us as we minister next at Crossroad is that all of us in this church family would be humble, gentle, patient, and bearing with others in love. So I want to do that straight away. I want to take a moment for all of you to reflect and pray right now. So this is something I try and do in my sermons. Take a moment to give thanks to the Lord Jesus, who has given you new life and made you a member of his body. Please pray that you might be gentle, humble, patient, bearing with others. Please pray for us that we would also have those attitudes as we minister to God's people in Japan. So please take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would change our hearts to be humble and gentle and patient and bearing with others, so that we might build the unity of the Spirit. And we pray that in this way we would serve those around us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So being family is great. And we get to get together as family. But if we as missionaries are asking our family for support, we still need to make clear what our aims are for that support. Why are we going back to Japan and to a new church? From today's passage, I want to say that you partner with us so that we can be sent to equip other members of Christ's body. You are sending us to equip other members of Christ's body. You can see that in verse 12. Central to this passage and to the life of the church is the work of the Lord Jesus. Verses 8 to 10 describe the victory of the Lord Jesus over the dark powers, the dark spiritual powers of this world. And Paul here is reminding us that the Lord Jesus is in fact God himself. God himself who has defeated death and saved us. And as any good victor, particularly in the ancient world, did, he gives us the spoils of that victory. He has gifts to give us. And what he gives each of us are the gifts to serve one another as members of his body. God's grace is not just a one-off act when we believed and were saved. God's grace continues on and on in equipping us to work for him and for others in the church. Defining the specific gifts, I think, is less important than realizing that all of us have been given the ability to play a role in God's work. That's whether that's on a Sunday or the rest of the week. And I think there's something of a journey of discovery. I don't think we need to sort of poke around wondering what our gifts are. I think we should give it a go. And by giving it a go, as we seek to encourage our brothers and sisters, Christ makes it obvious, more and more obvious, what our gifts are. As we seek to encourage our brothers and sisters to build them up. Those gifts might change over time. They may not necessarily because we change, but because the needs around us might change. And Paul goes on to define some specific roles in verse 11 that are focused on God's word, so his people are better able to fulfill their roles in the church. When we think about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, I don't think being one necessarily excludes being another. I also don't think this is a list of professional ministers. Any of God's people, any of you, may at different times serve God's people in one or more of these capacities. If you do that, please continue that work in God's strength to equip the saints around you. Maybe God wants you to step up. If you are doing something now, God may want you to do something else. maybe even step out of Pennant Hills to do God's work of equipping his people. Please don't ignore those whispers in your head or those suggestions from the people around you. Someone might say, oh, gee, you're really good at teaching the Bible, or you're really encouraging, or you're really good at pastoring people. And please think about encouraging your kids to think about taking up opportunities to minister to God's people. Are we encouraging our kids to dream God's dreams, to think about what God wants for their lives and what God is doing in this community and around the world? As we've served in Japan, equipping our brothers and sisters has been one of our central aims under God. We don't know how long we can serve in Japan. We want to serve for many years yet, but that is in God's hands. What we do want to do in the time we're given is to equip God's people for works of service and to equip them to equip others. And that's partly why we're moving to Crossroad Church. As you saw in the video, Fumi-sensei, very energetic, mentioned relational disciple-making as a central aim of the church. That's what they want to do. And so he wants us to get to know people at church, to encourage and equip them so they can grow as followers of Christ, and so that they can encourage others to grow as followers of Christ. That's the work we want you to partner with us in. To pray for us to do this work that's only possible because the Lord Jesus equips us to do it. It's only possible because Jesus gives his gifts to the people we work with. So again, let's do that right now. Please pray that the Lord Jesus would equip you to serve others and that you would be willing to serve. What's a new way you might be able to serve the Lord Jesus here or elsewhere? And please pray for us and also for your ministers here. Pray for Craig and the team, everyone else who is working to equip you. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person here that you would be giving them what is needed to serve those around them so that they might serve you faithfully to build your body. I pray for those who serve to teach and to pastor in evangelism, to start new ministries, whatever they are doing as they seek to equip the saints here, that you would give them great wisdom and great strength to do that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus has united us as a body, and he equips all of us to serve so that we can do his work. So then the question is, what for? Paul shows us that Jesus wants us to grow to maturity as his people. That is, we seek to grow into what God has already made us, a united people under the Lord Jesus, living his way. A united people under the Lord Jesus, living his way. In one sense, of course, the growing never finishes. In a church of lots of people, we're all at different stages, and we're all at different stages of learning to live as Jesus wants us to live. Then new people come maybe new Christians, hopefully. Hopefully new people are being baptized. And they have to learn to live in the way Christ wants them to live. So as a continually growing group of people under Christ, Paul shows us two ways that might be a good sign of how things are going. So one sign is that God's people will be steady, not being tossed around by the worldly ways of teaching. We're able to stick with God's truths. That doesn't stop us from making changes in language or style, particularly to communicate those truths better. But the gospel, and particularly Jesus' death and resurrection, stay central. And we want to approach the issues and the problems that come our way based on the truth of God's word. The second thing appears in the way we speak to one another, that we speak the truth in love. And I think this comes back to the attitudes that were there at the start of the passage, of gentleness and humility. For there to be people who speak the truth in love, there needs to be good listeners who hear God's truth spoken by others. So as we have an attitude that's humble and wants to keep God's unity, then we'll take the time to listen to what other people have to say to us. Then we can know the other person, we get to know them better and know what aspects of God's truth they need to hear. And we love them to know the time and place to speak those truths into their lives. We very much need you to pray for us in this. It's so tempting for a missionary to go into a new church and want to say all this stuff, good stuff, from the Bible. But we need to take the time to get to know our brothers and sisters first at Crossroad. So pray that we can really speak the truth in love under Christ. So let's do that right now, once more, to pray for your church, St. Mark's, to grow in Christ. And pray for us that we would be good listeners as we walk with others, and so that we can speak the truth in love. Please take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, help us to grow, both individually and as a church. Help us to be steady in the face of worldly teaching, to trust in your word. Help us to be quick to listen and slow to speak, so that when we do speak, we can speak your truth in love. This we ask in your Son's name. Amen. So I've taken three opportunities to pray during this sermon. That's deliberate, partly because Paul's request at the end of Ephesians is for his readers to pray in the Spirit on all occasions, from chapter 6, verse 18. Even just in today's passage, the Lord Jesus is at the centre of the action in our gatherings. He has united us as family. He gives us the gifts so that we can serve, and it's his body that grows as we mature. So please pray for your own congregation here and for your brothers and sisters in Japan. And we ask you that you would pray for us, just as Paul asks the Ephesians to pray for him, that we would keep making known the gospel of Jesus. We are so thankful for your partnership over the last 7 years. And so we ask as fellow workers now to continue this partnership. This partnership as we are sent by you to seek to raise up new disciples of the Lord Jesus and equip them to serve and to then go on to raise up others in Japan for the glory of Jesus. Amen.